Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted,
the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 106 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
I just realized when I said 106 that that's almost the temperature this week.
Ugh, it'll be 108 later.
Yeah, fun times.
So, announcements this week. I think the only real announcement is that there is no announcement. And by...
Including,
and not limited to the announcement of who will be playing the characters of Brianna and Roger. We're still waiting. We will continue to wait. Bated breath, of course. But there is no announcement. So.
And when we hear, don't worry. We will be as happy as anyone. And we'll Facebook and tweet and Instagram and doodle the heck out of it.
I won't be doodling anything. But I would say that at this point, I would be, like, thrilled to pieces at anyone being cast in any role. I mean, if they cast Corey Feldman as Roger, I probably would be like, oh my God, I love Corey Feldman.
No, we would just be like, great, let's get going.
Yeah.
Let's put a face to a name, or a name to a face, or a face to a character.
Mario Lopez, I'd be down with that too.
Non-traditional casting, but hey.
Taye Diggs, love it. Let's do it. He's busy right now with Hedwig on Broadway, but...
No, but Taye Diggs is... He'd be a great Roger. So, Summer, let's tell the listeners what is in... I mean, you probably read the title, so you know what this episode might be about, but let's say it for the audio.
Well, let's just...
People.
Let's just break it down a little more than what the title is. We finished Pod Abroad. This is the final Pod Abroad. After doing one... full day in an hour. It took us an hour to tell about one day. We wrapped the rest of the trip up in like 45 minutes. I don't know if it was because Mandy was keeping us on track and making us move, but we got it done.
I mean, it... And it didn't hurt, to be honest, that she was face-to-face and she could be, you know... You can make eye contact, you can kind of...
Oh, I didn't.
Rush someone
I go
along.
Out of my way to not look at people. I'm not looking at you right now.
Not at all, because you just turned away.
I did. It made me uncomfortable.
I'm sorry about that. So, as Summer said, this is installment 3 of 3.
You know, third time's a charm.
I don't know how many times it took us to get this last
one. That's what I'm saying. We finished it. It took us 3 times.
It did. And, yeah. So, we hope you enjoy, finally, our wrap-up of Pod Abroad. So, we are here with our good friend, Mandy, who is accompanied us. Now we can literally say on 2 continents, and as we growing all over the world, apparently we cannot, the 3 of us can't get enough of each other in our Northern California studio or one of our studios, I guess, to discuss hopefully our final installment of Pod Abroad.
Good lord. I figured my internet connection can't be a problem if I'm actually in the same room.
She's literally 6 inches. Our knees are 5. Oh, good lord. Now they're touching. And she's maybe 3. All that.
Wow.
She's maybe 3 feet from Summer.
And only maybe 2 away from you.
I was going to cut that, but now that you integrated that, okay then. So we left off, speaking of Pod Abroad, our trip to Scotland in late May of this year. We wrapped up, I think we spent an hour talking about only Tuesday.
Dude. I think we've spent longer talking about the trip than we were actually on the trip.
This has taken longer to make this, to discuss it in completion or completely than it did for us to fly, travel, drive all the way around, thousands of miles all the way around, and then fly home. So, yeah.
And I tell you, I have a whole new appreciation for how small and compact Scotland is now that I've driven the length of California for the last week.
Up and down, yep.
From San Diego to Sacramento.
Well, and you slept through part of that. Unexpectedly.
Just a little
bit. It surprised even yourself.
Apparently there was nothing to see.
Or my driving was that good.
I wouldn't go there.
Summer, be nice. We left off on Tuesday night, where we got back and then crashed.
I mean, was Inverness, right?
Oh, well, yeah. It went to Inverness and then drove back to Pitlochry.
A late night. Imagine that.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty much almost every day ended with a drive back to Pitlochry.
After a late night.
After
late.
That's true. They never got later. They never got earlier, and we never got up too much later, except for maybe one morning.
Well, I think that had to do with the fact that as the trip got closer to being at an end, we wanted less and less for it to be over, and so we would stay up as long as possible and do as much as possible, so.
So, the Wednesday, that would have been the 27th of May. The Wednesday, I cannot tell you if we got up early or late.
I can tell you we got up early and that we got in the car and drove towards Glasgow, and two people who shall remain nameless that I'm pointing at right now immediately fell asleep in the car.
Me.
Definitely me.
Pretty much, we were tired.
I didn't feel bad about it.
Not that Mandy wasn't.
No, I sat in the back seat and I did it without complaining, and I did it gladly because I knew that in the back seat no one would pay attention to me and I could take a nap and or sleep, and I did, and I felt no shame about it, and I would do it again. I'll do it right now.
And no, that's also where we discovered that rush hour in Glasgow bears a great resemblance to rush hour in Atlanta, Georgia.
Dude.
And the traffic was not pleasant.
No, traffic in Georgia is no joke.
We did wave at the Cumbernauld Studios, though, as we drove
did.
By.
We drove by and said, vinka vinka.
We might have done that every time we drove by. So.
I remember driving by twice, which means I slept through it the second time.
So once we were driving toward Glasgow and got to where we were going to be, just, you know, it rained that day. We had a really interesting drive.
That was really the only day where we had yucky weather from start to finish. Yeah.
But it wasn't, loved it. Scotland.
It rained all day, but it wasn't like a heavy rain. It was just a steady rain.
It was just annoying rain, and It was a pain because that was the day we had planned to have a local person show us around.
Yeah. And take us kind of hiking.
And exactly. And showing us neat spots and standing stones. And
that didn't happen.
We ended up doing a lot of driving by locations.
We did a mini...
stopping at pubs.
Yeah. We did a mini pub crawl.
We did a pub crawl.
Well, yeah. I crawled but couldn't drink because I was driving.
That's true.
Somebody needed to do it. And thank you for taking one for the team.
But we did see the most beautiful carpet of bluebells in the woods that I have ever seen in my life.
And that was such a fluke. It was such a fluke. We were just driving, and then all of a sudden, I don't remember who it was, but they were just like, stop the car! And then half of the car got out, and I was like, screw you guys, it's raining. I'm not getting out of the car. And then I literally rolled the window down and took a picture out of the window.
And her picture was better than ours. And my picture was better than the other two.
I mean, it was magical. It's one of those things like you would expect, or you would hope to find or expect to see, like on a movie, in a film, on maybe not on a set, but probably on a set, like something very, very fake.
Well, this is the second time I've been to Scotland in May, and that the bluebells were one of the things I remembered from my very first trip. Mm-hmm. And for it to actually live up to that expectation, I've decided I can only go to Scotland in May from now on.
Dude,
at least I have to go.
At least once a year, I have to go in May. We haven't said where that was. It was actually in Kilmartin Glen.
Yes. Yeah.
But the thing to think about is that, you know, flowers have their season, and certain flowers bloom for, you know, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, in a certain time of the season. And I felt like I spent the entire trip being harassed by bluebells. Now, they were beautiful.
They were so lovely.
But they were everywhere. I was like,
You know what else was everywhere?
What?
The wood garlic.
You know what else was everywhere? Scottish people.
But they're not flowers, girlfriend.
But they were in Scotland.
We were in Scotland.
Yeah, no, you know what? Not everywhere. The wood garlic was not everywhere. It was
not
just
like
that
the
one day.
No, but it wasn't just that one day. That was the one day that it was brought to my attention.
That one day it was pungent.
When you held it up to my face, I smelled it.
Whole area smelled like onions and garlic. Like it just
it's
smelled.
It's not as bad as that. What do they call it? Social garlic?
It smelled a lot like social garlic, to be honest.
So we drove around, found the beautiful carpet of bluebells, and then pretty much that was the day.
Yeah, we just spent the rest of that day driving around to different locations. We only got lost once or twice. The only time we got lost, and we weren't really lost because we knew approximately where we were, was when we had the local person with us.
That's right. And when we were driving around in that rain, before we got to the Kilmartin Glen, before we got to the carpet of bluebells, the little glen there, what was happening? We were all like on these one way roads in the back, and there was like sheep and cows and things dodging us.
And one woman walking with a dog. Lord,
yeah. I mean, it was...
Yeah, we were on some single track roads that were back through the pastures and farmland.
It was entertaining.
In Kilmartin Glen. And it was great. And it's like, you know, eventually you know if you keep turning right, you're going to get back to where you started. So.
Uh-huh. Well, if you think about it, you're on basically what amounts to a giant island. Eventually, you're going to hit water.
Exactly.
And when you hit water, you turn around and walk the other way. And
there are a lot of locks. You're going to hit water sooner rather than later.
And it was. The area we were in, it was, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of water.
Yeah, I want to go back because this is the second time I've been over at Dunod and it be raining and not be able to go out and climb up to the top. Mm-hmm. Because, trust me, that's one area you don't want to be climbing when the rocks are slick and wet.
Well, I would have done it, but not me.
I don't have a good history.
I would have done it, but nobody would go with me, and I wasn't going by myself.
I would totally would. Who was the only person who got out of the car to run around to those damn standing stones? No, it wasn't different. I was willing to get out.
No, it was different because I've seen standing stones. I hadn't climbed a mountain yet, and I would have climbed that mountain.
The items and locations were different, but the willingness to do it, I never heard you say that. I'm glad to hear you say that now, but to be fair, I didn't say it either. But our local person friend, when we were driving around, was like, it's not safe. So I'm like, okay, I don't really have any... I mean, I can say I want to or I'm willing to, but we also don't want to basically fall down and die and hit our heads.
Well, I would have died, but if I'd had someone with me, they would have at least, you know, been able to radio back.
Right, see, the first time I went, I was by myself. I'm like, I don't want anybody finding my dead body at the foot of Dunod.
Oh, Lord, yeah, no.
That would have been good. But that was also the day that I saw the rainbows coming back down.
Oh,
so.
Pretty.
Yeah, it was really pretty.
So that, we were down in that area, and then basically, I guess, drove back to Pitlochry. Mm-hmm. And then after that, was that day?
That was a very long day, and after we dropped our person back off in Glasgow, that was one of our McDonald's trips. Remember?
That was the second
McDonald's.
What was the first one?
The first one was when we were out with...
the baker?
The baker.
Okay, good.
So, that day. But this day, it was starting to get, 9 o'clock, and it's like, we have to eat. And your options after 9 o'clock in Scotland get rather limited. So we rushed into McDonald's right before they closed because we knew they had Wi-Fi.
and they were closing. Like, they were putting chairs up and mopping, and we were like, well, you're not closed yet. Let us in.
Yeah, but by the way, let me give you a word of advice. If you're going to go to McDonald's in Scotland, don't order the New York hamburger.
Oh, you know what, though? Look, that was a special they were having, that, like, limited edition.
I hope it's so special and limited don't do it ever again.
No, and... And no, you shouldn't. It should be limited. And
it was not good.
And we actually,
I should have known when the hamburger wasn't round.
It was oblong.
Are they pulling a Wendy's?
No, it was oblong.
Hamburgers shouldn't come in that shape.
You know what that reminds, a hamburger in the shape of something that's oblong? What does that remind you of from, maybe not high school, but like grammar school or elementary school cafeteria food? What came? Tongue.
What?
We did not have that.
Whoever fed you
tongue? That is not something we had in high school cafeterias in Georgia.
We had never tongue. Fed, no.
We were fed tongue.
No, we were not.
I promise.
No, you are having what we like to call a stroke and reimagining what
they
happened.
They advertised.
What? Beef tongue.
What? No, they did not.
What elementary school kid would honestly eat that?
You are.
I don't know that I
have forgotten.
It's before I became vegetarian.
No, you have clearly forgotten where you live. And what they feed our kids. They feed crap to our kids all the time, but no tongue.
I mean,
tongue is at least natural.
I don't think we got any more exotic in Georgia than liver and onions, maybe.
No, we wouldn't even have gotten that.
Even then, nobody would have
eaten
it.
There was no tongue fed.
I swear there was. I remember it.
Ginger.
I remember
a lot of things that didn't happen.
I remember there was tongue.
Anyway, back to the
didn't happen.
Subject.
Point is
don't get the New York style
no,
burger.
The only thing I'll say about the New York, the limited edition New York style burger, is that it tasted like a blend of meats.
One of which
may or may not have been beef.
None of which could be identified.
I lived in New York, and that's not what burgers tasted like.
Yeah, the important thing is we did get some food with some Wi-Fi and some caffeine for the rest of the drive home because it was another late night getting back to Pitlochry. And one of those nights where we just fell into bed.
So Thursday was the longest day of our trip. Was it the longest day of your trip, too?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know the movie The Longest Day? This was the longest day.
Yes.
Because it started very, very early with a trip to the University of Stirling.
That's right. Before anybody got there.
Before anybody, any college students were awake, let me tell you. And so we parked over near the athletic complex, I think is where it is, and made a trek up to a hill to see what famous site. This is a quiz to see if you remember it.
Well, I haven't written them again.
Well, you're cheating.
It was the background of the, or the front foreground, whatever. It was used as a stand-in for the Inn from Rent.
Yes, exactly. Also, that's the same inn that they used when they came back in episode 109, The Reckoning, as well.
Really? I just want to say that some of the most beautiful places we've seen in Scotland were car parks.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it was right off...
It was the most beautiful flower garden.
It was right off of the car park, right at the university, and, you know, she kind of parked and, like, trotted us up this hill that you didn't even know you could go there, and all of a sudden there was just, like, this open area, again, full of bluebells, and this was a damp day, because it was just following the day of rain. So I couldn't ground feed. I wanted to, but I couldn't. But it was, again, filled with bluebells, and there were some exotic flowers down at the base near the actual car park itself. I mean, it was a car park, but it was so lovely. I mean, you just can't find car parks like that here, I don't think.
Speaking, you're referring to the Rest and Be Thankful, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, but that's another car park that was gorgeous.
No, you're referring to the University of Stirling area. Right. But I'm saying, when you say another car park, the first one was the Rest and Be Thankful.
I wasn't even going there. I'm just saying all of the places we actually parked the car were gorgeous.
That's because every place in Scotland is gorgeous.
Exactly. It really like is. I said, you fall and stub your toe, or you're like, Mandy, you unfortunately trip.
No more talking about the face plant.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say knee.
Face was fine.
My point is, you do something, you get a boo-boo, and which is not fun, it's not good, but you're still in Scotland.
I guess if I'm going to hurt myself and make a fool, might as well be in Scotland.
Fool of yourself.
The coolest part, though, we realized halfway down to wherever we were going that her Fitbit had gone missing. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, shoot, her Fitbit's gone then. Yeah. And we get to the top, and somebody had placed it on, like, a little marker on the side of the road, and we were able to reclaim her Fitbit. Like,
but
they
lost
it.
We walked at least 2 miles. Oh, yeah. There and back. They were not recorded on my Fitbit. I was very unhappy about it.
All right. I was doing
that's
my
okay. iPhone. I got it back. I'm wearing it again right now. And I did, you know, keep track of how far we did go, and I kind of added some grace time.
I think we did that in the last one.
Did we?
Wait. We could... Yeah, sorry, because it was a different day. Okay.
So where did we go after the University of Stirling? At that point, we decided we were hungry, right?
Yes.
And so we drove down to Hopetoun Estate and had lunch at the Hopetoun Garden Shop, which has a name. Does anybody remember what the name of the garden shop was?
Of course not.
Not at all?
Not at all.
It's Dougal's Garden Shop.
Was it for real?
How could you forget that?
Why did we not get a picture of that?
I can't remember if anything said. I know the very first time I went there last trip, last October, they actually had on the sign a sign that said, you know, Wednesdays are Dougal's discount.
I do remember that.
And I took a picture of that and tweeted it to Graham McTavish and told him I was really, you know, I appreciated him arranging for a special discount.
Did he reply?
I spent a lot of money on that particular day. He did actually reply.
Oh, good.
That I was very welcome. So
you're very welcome.
Well, I remember we stopped at that little place in the back, and you were like, "Oh, we're going to this garden shop," and it's legit a garden shop. Mm-hmm. Like they sell
the
gardening implements.
Then,
they sell seeds and little plants and anything you would need for your garden. But if you keep walking back to the back,
Tinchers are like, "Where are we going to eat? Are we going to grow our own food?"
Right. So we get all the way to the back. They have this little kind of like a cafeteria set up where you can order food. And one of the specials of the day was, it was an onion quiche,
cheese and onion tart. I call them
tart.
Usually tart.
It looked like,
but it really
it
is
was
quiche,
a quiche, basically. Yeah. But they were not kidding.
No, the onions.
This was a lot of onions. Now, granted, they were caramelized and they were delicious, but it was, even for me, it was more of an onion tart than it was an egg. Because it was egg. There was eggs and cheese and onions, but it was really mostly onion for me. But it was delicious. I just couldn't finish it all.
And this was one of those interesting Scottish weather days, too, in that about every 15 minutes, a storm was blowing through, and it would rain to beat the band for like 10 minutes, and then it would stop, and the wind would blow it out, and it'd be clear until the next band came through.
This is true. I remember
which
that.
Becomes important later on, trust me.
Uh-huh. It always does. Yeah,
there's a point. And so after we finished lunch, and I think I had tea and scone that day, too. Cause
you had scone, I mean, a tea every day.
I'd had tea every day, and then scones any day.
That was the place that I tried a treacle tart, because you kept talking about them, and I was like, I don't know what the crap a treacle tart is. What is treacle? So I was like, someone please split this treacle tart with me, because I don't want to eat this whole thing. What do you want to taste it?
Treacle tart or was it a treacle scone?
Oh, it was a treacle scone.
Right,
excuse
which
me.
Are two different things.
Ladies, get your facts straight.
Sorry.
Treacle scones are very good.
It was an
treacle
onion,
tart, it's very good, too.
It was an onion and cheese and egg tart, and then it was a treacle scone.
Right.
So I wanted to try the treacle scone because you kept talking about the treacle. So I wanted to try it and
why didn't I have it? Oh, because this is the third time.
Wait. You split the treacle scone with me.
Oh, was it the was it really hard?
It was very it was
dry.
Crisp. It was very crisp. The middle was crisp. Very
yeah.
It was soft.
No, it was scones. Good. I like scones. Scones are different in Scotland and the UK than they are in the US. Mm-hmm. In the US they tend to be much sweeter
and cakier.
And cakier and in the UK they're much more I call them much more akin to biscuits, although they're not that flaky. It's much more of a biscuity texture than a cake texture.
This particular scone, I remember, was very crisp on the outside, bordering it was hard. Bordering like almost, dry.
Yeah,
but inside it was very moist, and it was a very like molassesy. Yeah.
See, the trick to that is you just make sure you put enough butter and jam on it. The scone just goes down fine.
The trick to that is just making it super more even better than clotted cream. To begin with. But,
They weren't offering that. I set out to have that. I never had my clotted cream.
Tastes like whipped butter. It's pretty much what that tastes like.
It was good. It was like a ginger snap without the ginger, so it was like that molassesy burnt sugar flavor without
now that you say that delicious. And it was a brownie color, right?
Yeah.
I remember that now because the molasses gave it the taste and the color,
right? It's very much like that. And then after we finished eating lunch, we went next door to the Hopeton Farm Shop.
We did, and we were looking for Mr. C's pies. Because we know that he sells them there. And the only place we could find them was in the freezer section. And it all made sense later when we remembered that he had said that he had a delivery arriving that day, but he wasn't sure what time. And clearly, we beat the delivery.
Yeah. So they were down to the end of the pie run. We also got another little treat there, and that we picked up our very own little permit to go visit what location.
But before we even talk about going to that location, can we discuss the fact that the chick there basically was a whore?
We mounted no one. We met an outlandish whore.
So what was funny is we were all kind of talking to this woman, and I don't know, but she just kind of. We were talking about Outlander and this, like, you know, nebulous Outlander thing, and she was saying, oh, the wedding dress was so beautiful, and that didn't mean anything, because, you know, it was a beautiful dress, we could all see that when we watched TV, but then she said, I got to look at it up close when I carried it, and I was like, whoa.
You carried it.
The
dress. You did what?
The only people who carried that dress were whores. So we were like, I'm fairly sure we just, even though we didn't want to ask her, because that would have been weird to be were you a whore? But we are, I would say, 99.99999% sure we did meet the whore with the dress from the episode 107, the wedding episode.
Not the one hanging on Ned.
No, this one carried the dress down the stairs and handed it to Madame.
Right. But so was, after that, we got our very own.
Did you keep it?
Permit. Yeah, I do have it.
Do you frame it?
You better have not framed it, but I do have it.
You need to put it someplace safe.
Yes.
Because it says, did it say Hopeton House or did it say Mid Hope on it? What did it say?
I just gave it away. Because Hopeton House is a completely different
house. It's on the same estate, but it's a different house.
But oh my. So we got some general driving instructions, and after like a third loop,
I didn't listen very closely to the actual directions.
No, and I don't think any of us did, because like I think the extent of what I heard was go down the street, look for the fireworks, and then turn left. But I don't think we got, and then they, and I also, think, the other thing I filed away in my memory bank was the fact that there was some sort of a race.
Carriage trials. And I think I was under the delusion that, oh, I've been there before, I'll recognize it. Well, apparently that was not the way that we went. But once we turned and we're going the right way, then you absolutely recognized it because it's the tunnel
the
of trees.
Walk up, yeah.
It right, is the Tobias. Exactly. I love it. Okay, I have a new phrase. It's the Tobias Tunnel.
No.
Yes. It's the thing you see with him on the horse walking through with his little cocky face.
Nope.
It is. He's very cocky as BJR.
That may be, but
we're going to move past.
Yeah, we're going to move past.
Okay, so as
we've seen too much of Tobias to have anything that's even close.
So as we drove through, or as Mandy drove us through the Tobias Tunnel of tree in the tree. Seriously, it was that ridiculously perfect. If you've seen the show once, you will recognize it.
We felt
it.
Like we were making that same ride up to Lollybrock that the Redcoat troop did.
Actually, it's more effective. It's even more effective once you get to Midhope and you look back. Mm-hmm. That is freaky. But yes, you can definitely tell it when you're going down that road. So we get there, and the only disappointment, the good thing is, at least when we arrived, there were no other tourists, mm-hmm. as with many of our things. However, there were a few cars. So we couldn't get any pictures with no cars.
Right. Because really and truly, when you get there, you don't realize it. It's in the middle of a cluster of buildings. Mm-hmm. So there's a house cottage to the right.
There's another factory in the back there.
Workshop kind of building. And they had actually even opened up the side of that even more since I had been there back in October. But the good news about that was is you could actually walk right up to the house. Because when we were there last time, they had it fenced off where you couldn't actually walk right up to the stoop. And so we got some good pictures of us sitting on the steps with our hair blowing every which way.
It was so windy as those storms were blowing. I think it was my favorite. I mean, the ground views are not like necessarily, they're not bad pictures. But as far as selfies go, especially group ones, I think my favorite picture, and I don't even care what we look like, my favorite picture is that one we got on the steps of Lollybrock.
On the steps of the palace.
We also got some really good pictures of the carved stones that were there that were top. Part of the house as well.
I just want to point out that I got really, really good at losing track of what we were doing so that every time we parked, I got surprised by where we were. So, like, we were like, oh, Hopeton. And she would just call it by the name of where what it actually was. So when we pulled up to it, I was like, oh my gosh, we're in Lollybrock. Like, I was really good at deluding myself as to where we were actually going so that every time we stopped the car.
She's a bottle blonde, but she's a natural bottle blonde.
So that every time we stopped the car, I got a little bit more excited than I probably should have been about where we were.
Yep. Sometimes so excited that, like at Aberdour, we got out and never saw her again.
Hey, I came back.
I'm very excited.
I wanted some time to just be alone.
And it was nice to have that time, even though it was cold and windy, to spend there and kind of take it in and sit on the stoop without having a lot of other people around and anybody else really affecting that experience. Which is why, again, I like to travel in the shoulder season, either May or October, when you're not fighting, all the hordes of tourists. And it's also why I don't like to do the big group tours. They're great for people who that's their thing and they don't want to drive, but I much prefer being able to have my own car and a small group and go exactly where I want and spend however much time I want.
And you get to have a very personal experience as opposed to being part of somebody else's personal experience. Right. And to top all off on top of that, I mean, shoulder season wise, it was beautiful.
Absolutely.
We probably lucked out.
Yeah, and I actually, because I'm that kind of person, I keep the Glasgow weather on my phone
when I go in
and check the weather. And so I'm always looking when I'm checking weather to see what the weather is in Glasgow. It was probably better in May than it's been in June and July. You know, they just have not had a great summer. Every time I've looked, it seemed to have been about 59 degrees and cloudy. So
you're welcome, Glasgow.
I mean, it never got hot over there.
The first day we were there,
it was warm.
Walking on Buchanan Street, it was hot. I had a sweater on. I had to take that off.
We were sweaty. Mm-hmm. So after Lollybrock, I'm like, dude, I know we got to go on, but that was seriously my favorite selfie we took. Just on the steps of the that was just some kind of magic there.
Did you just have like a Tourette's moment? Like, did you just lose words? Did your brain just
stop?
But
we could tell that rain was starting to come again because we'd used up our 20 minutes between rain bands.
There you go.
That's true.
And so we jumped back in the car as the raindrops started to fall and headed off to our next location,
which I have as which was Blackness,
which was a personal mission of mine because I tried twice with Candida to go last October and managed to pick closed days both freaking times. So I was very excited to actually make it inside of Blackness Castle legally.
Blackness was some kind of magic. Yeah. Blackness, I mean, castles are magic. Castles are great. We'll get to Dune later, but Blackness is like, for me, another castle on the water, which is just magic. Yeah. And all these towers, kind of uneven ground at the bottom. Yeah.
Blackness is called, the nickname for Blackness, or one of them, is the ship that never sailed. Mm. Because it's kind of shaped, very prow-shaped, sitting out on a promontory, with a lock all around it on basically on two sides. And I quite frankly don't understand how people could live there because it was so cold and windy that day we were there and the sun was shining most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what that place is like in the winter with the wind howling. I mean, they must have frozen it.
Was it Black Ness? I think it was Black Ness. They were talking. Well, no, we didn't get a tour, but there was like a sign. There was a place where you could see like where they, where the jail was or that hole that they throw people down. And so weebly, may or may not like ever come back up. And then, and then there was another one like just above it where if you were either wealthy or well known or whatever, you'd pay for slightly better
conditions.
So the thing about Black Ness that we should probably back up. Is that when we first went to go pay our money to...
I paid this time.
She paid for herself.
Before she went in.
So we go in to the visitor center, I guess, where you pay. And they were in front of me as normal. And they paid their way. And then we all said hi to the gentleman who was paying, giving us our tickets. And then they walked out to go look at the castle. So I was the last one there, as happened the entire trip, which is okay. I was just in third in line. So I was... He didn't say anything to us as a group. I paid my money for the pass, and he says, "You're not by chance Outlander fans, are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, let me see."
Because anybody that's middle aged and visiting Scotland on their own must
especially females,
and Americans must be Outlander fans.
Yes,
I'm not even gonna say middle aged. I'm just gonna say of a certain age.
So I was like, "Well, yeah."
Does it show? There's no hiding it,
and. I said, I think I may or may not, I think I told Summer, I think I told you guys, I'm pretty sure I said that, yes, we're fans, and the blonde and I, who happen to be sisters, do a podcast, a fan podcast, and the other lady we are with has a blog related to Gaelic stuff, but is also associated with the show and the Gaelic in the show. And this was probably too much information to give him, but he was like, oh,
well,
okay.
This is what you do.
It is kind of. So, basically, I think he wanted to find out, were you fans, yes or no? That's it.
Basically, I think he wanted to build a playlist for later.
This
right. Exactly. I think he wanted to know what to play. He pulled out his
exactly.
pipe.
His pipes. So, I say that. I'm like, blah, blah, blah,
pulled
whatever.
Out his so pipe. That sounds so wrong.
So, then I go out, and again, they're long gone. So, we're all kind of doing our own mini tour of Black Ness at different areas of the castle. And Summer had gone up one tower. Mm-hmm. I had gone up another tower. And we were all just, you know, kind of going up, coming down, seeing each other. And then Summer said hello or something to me. And I saw her. And she was up on the battlements, on the ramparts. And I went up there. And I think you had come down just when I was going up. But whatever. I went up there because I saw you up there. And I was just walking around. And did I hear? I don't know about you guys. Do you remember what I said, if I heard him or saw him first?
Well, I don't know what you said. I know that I stepped out on sort of a little balcony area, and I saw him walking around carrying the pipes. And I remember almost shouting out, you planning to do something with those pipes, or you're just going to carry them around? And then he almost immediately started playing even before.
I think I saw him first. The thing that makes me think maybe I heard him first was because... When I recorded his entire thing, except for the first few seconds. So now that makes me think that I heard him first and then went, oh my gosh, and then I grabbed my phone and started recording. Either way, I have almost all of it. So he's playing, and doesn't he start with Flower of Scotland? What did he start with?
He started with that or the Skyboat Song?
Skyboat Song was second.
No, it was second.
Sure. Okay.
Because at first, when I heard it was like, oh my gosh, it's the pipes, how perfect is this? You know, he was like, it's Black Ness and the water
and the pipes. I was up on
the
ramparts.
Yeah, me too.
You both were. I could see you because I was down a little bit.
And I'm like, how magical is this? So I pull up my phone, I start to record. And then, I mean, yeah, I was a little bit emotional, like, because pipes kind of get you in the chest, and because they're so resonant, some people don't like that, but I love it. And then there's a short break after that first song. Or actually, maybe not. Maybe he went right into it, but he started playing the Skyboat Song. And I was like, you are stinking kidding me. That was the song that I lost my shizzle. I did not bawl, but I had tears.
But every piper we heard on the trip played the Skyboat song at some point. And I actually asked him later, you know, was that something you added to your repertoire just for, you know, after Outlander became popular, or was that something you played all along? And he said it was always something that he had played on the pipes.
Yes, but we had not heard a piper at any kind of castle.
Not at the castle, but we had heard pipers on Buchanan and Zucky Hall Street playing Sky Bell Song.
Absolutely. I think it's standard repertoire, but traditional repertoire. But this was someone, I think the reason he played it at that point was that's kind of when he was fishing for Are You Guys Fans of This or That? Although people would have enjoyed it anyway, but I think that was interesting. And again, it was an Outlander filming site. So it was just, my guts were like turning. I was like, oh my gosh. And then he ended it with Amazing Grace. So that was just very, it was very special. Yep. So
It started to rain again.
And so by the time he's done, I had come down. And I think, Mandy, had you come down too? Yep.
Without falling.
Hey, it did happen. Miracles.
Yes.
Though I don't know that we mentioned it, but in case people are unsure, Blackness is where they filmed
Jimmy's Flogging. It's Fort William.
Yes. Okay. So Blackness.
Blackness
is Fort William.
And we looked for Jamie's window, and couldn't quite get to it. But
I think it was overhanging some water.
Yes, exactly. It was not easily accessible.
No.
So. I think by that time, yeah, because I didn't yell down. That would have been tacky. Mm-mmm. So we're down on the ground, and the piper's done. And
God forbid you do something tacky.
And the piper, who had finished, was slowly, he had his pipe, and he was slowly walking back toward the keep or whatever it is, or his desk, his area. And he wasn't walking really, really fast, but I kind of sped up to go ask him a question, and I said, because he on it, you can see his little name tag, and I'm like, wait, Graham, and he's a piper. I'm like, wait, are you playing at this event for Mary's Meanders? And he's like, well, yeah. And before, just to make sure I wasn't going crazy, I was checking my Twitter DMs, and I had a name, because we were told some people, some of the band and everything, different people who would be at that Mary's Meanders event, A Taste of Outlander that evening in Linlithgow, which is right next to, or very close to Blackness. And sure enough, it said Graham, a piper named Graham, or Graham the Piper, or a Piper. And I thought, this is too much of a coincidence. So I asked him, he's like, well, yeah. So as we took our leave, I'm like, see you later, Graham.
Now, I want to say that I didn't think it was that much of a coincidence, because Graham is not an uncommon name in Scotland, and a lot of people happen to play the pipes. So for me, that would not have been enough for me to chase down some dude with a bagpipe and ask him if he was going to be the specific person who was going to be playing at a specific...
Not chase him down. Ask him as we left.
Did you not chase him down?
I did not chase anyone
down.
Did
you not rush to catch him before he got away?
He did. Tamar. He was going... He was
Tamar?
He was at work.
Was that a T?
He wasn't going anywhere.
All right, Tamar.
So,
danger.
But he said yes, and then we did see him again that night. Yeah.
And at that point, we realized we were almost frozen solid, and we needed to get back in the car I don't think we went anywhere that was more exposed than being on that promontory with the wind whipping.
Because of the water, yes.
Yeah.
We were in a more exposed, meaning no walls, at the filming location of Cleina Dunn. That was out
right,
open, but there was no water.
Right, there was no water. And that day was a little windy.
It was so windy. Like, yeah. My hands hurt. Like, yeah. They burned.
Oh, totally. Where? Yeah. At Cleina Dunn or?
In June.
Yeah. But after Blackness, we got back in the car. And we decided we would head over to Bowness Railway Station.
This was awesome.
That was also used in filming for, which episode was that where? Is it The Way Out? Like, it's The Way Out, isn't it? Where it's the scene
like
with Frank and...
Episode 2?
I think it's 3.
It was 3, I think, is The Way Out.
It was either 2 or 3. Like, it was
two
one
or three.
Of the first
one of
episodes.
The first ones. I have to go back and watch. Where they have the scene where he puts her on the train so that when she goes to the front. And so I had been there in October, and I checked the hours on the website before we went this time, and as far as I knew, it was going to be open. But when we arrived in the parking lot for the train station, there didn't seem to be anybody there. So Ginger decided she would go out and investigate. And in between the time when
and
Ginger...
Hold on. After I said, I'll go out and have a check. And they said, okay, we'll be right there.
Behind you. Because
we intended well, to be.
We intended to be right behind her.
Don't believe them.
However, in the short period of time between when Ginger got out of the car and before we got our stuff together, it started pouring down rain.
Pouring down rain.
And this was just moments after.
It had been bright and sunny.
Moments after it's been bright literally. And sunny. And Mandy was saying, you know, I've seen every kind of weather since I've been here, but it hasn't hailed yet.
And I'm like, I said, I was disappointed because it had hailed on me every trip I'd been to Scotland. No joking you, within 2 minutes, it was starting to hail.
Yeah, and we were safely in the car.
In the car.
Watching as
expecting Ginger to come back.
But she didn't. She just kept trying different entrances to the train station. And taking pictures.
I wasn't going to waste my trip.
We now know of the three of us, which one of us is not smart enough to come in out of the rain.
No, excuse me. We know which one of the three of us is most adventurous to try and get things.
I had my pictures of bonus real way.
Well, then that's not the same. You've already been there, done that. So I was out there in the misty, not quite
rain. You made it back
rain.
To the car before it hailed, right?
Oh my! But can we not talk about the fact that that she then continued to talk about her wet pants for hours? And I was like, well, guess why they're wet?
Careful.
Guess
wet
why
trousers.
Sorry. Guess why your trousers are wet? Because you got out in the rain and didn't get in the car.
It wasn't just my trousers. Yeah, it was.
Was it your pants?
That was a big thing.
You were soaked
good
head to toe.
Grief. I thank God for Mindy's.
Mindy?
You know that other person we met there? Thank God for Mandy's loaning me a coat. Like a rain jacket.
I got really concerned at first. I was like, what did you loan her? Pants?
No. But it was, I mean, seriously, like my top was fine. It was just my legs.
Ginger had fun trying to take pictures and get into the railway station. Summer and I had fun laughing at Ginger out the rain.
Well, it was like that moment. Because
we had
like,
this thing going, how long do you think it will take her before she comes back? Like,
what do you think is going to be that kicker that pushes her over the edge? Not the hail, clearly, because that didn't get her back in the car.
I think it was finally being wet enough.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is enough. So after the
Bonnet adventure. Brouhaha.
We were in the car. Oh, and literally, as soon as we get in the car, within like 3 minutes,
it stops raining.
You see blue sky. I'm like, really? It was the perfect Scotland.
I love Scotland.
Oh, it's the best. So then we're like, okay, girls, we need to go.
It's time to go to Linlithgow. Yeah, we had a ton.
Oh, well, we did. We had an appointment, and we met with someone, and that was lovely. And after our appointment, then we had a tour.
Yeah.
And we had a nice tour with Anne Daly from Mary's Meanders. Yes.
We got to see where Claire threw up right in front of
us. Oh, that was, I think I took a picture. That was pretty awesome. She was like, yeah, and well, yeah. Oh, because what happened was we were going to go inside, but they had closed.
Yep.
So we had to walk around. Ooh, it's gorgeous. It is so formidable. Well, it is huge.
It is, but what they kept saying was, you don't need to go inside. There's nothing
you
to see.
You do need to get, well, there's nothing to see for Outlander filming inside.
But you do need
to go back and go inside of Linlithgow because it's one of the most spectacular palaces I've seen, because even though it's a shell, it still has all like the carved hearths and the big cavernous fire. There's one of the great hall has like a big triple fireplace.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's absolutely spectacular inside, and the views that you get looking out over the loch from the palace are just absolutely spectacular.
So we have that. Summer, write that down. That's on our list for next time.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, but I do want to see that. So then we had our tour. And then walked all the way around the castle, right?
Walked all the way around the castle.
Beautiful.
And then we went into the little city museum or town museum, or whatever that was.
And then we had and then it stopped.
Yep,
and
it stopped.
Then we went back out and started up. And then we went out and had like a little city tour.
Yeah,
and
we did.
Learned about the fountain.
It's not actually a fountain. And then continued to make our way down the little high street in Linlithgow. To the Star and Garter.
And from there, we will pause and say we have an entire episode about our experience of A Taste of Outlander with Mary's Meanders. And we encourage you to listen to that.
Yes. I will say it was a very late night.
That
was the latest night we had. We didn't get home until what, 1 a.m.?
Oh, gosh, 1 to 1:30.
Yeah. It was one of those nights where I had to make them stop talking to me for the last couple of miles.
Oh, you didn't make me do anything. I was asleep.
No, she was asleep. Summer was asleep in the back seat. And I was like, okay, you can't talk to me because I can't be distracted.
That was episode 100 if you wanted to go back and listen and find out more about what we did with / at Mary's Meanders, A Taste of Outlander. So as Maddie said, we got home very late, and it was our last night in Pitlochry, which made it even more difficult because we had to not only, we got in late, we had to get up, not necessarily butt early, or yeah, crack early, but we had to get up early enough to clean our stuff up and make sure we did the dishes and got everything ready and made strip the beds and whatever we did, we had to make sure that it was back as close as possible to when we arrived.
Exactly, because we'd like to be invited back again.
Yes, yeah. Please. Yes, please.
It's my home away from home.
Oh my gosh. Like. It might, if I mean, she, our hostess can protest, but I think and it's all Mandy's fault. Mandy's fault and then our hostess's fault that Summer and I have fallen in love with our home away from home as well. It's
yeah, there's just nothing like waking up in the morning, looking out a big dormer window or skylight at the lock and the hills and watching the clouds come across. And it's spectacular.
One night, I don't know, it wasn't that night. We didn't talk about this yet. There was one where, again, it was Mandy's, not Mindy's, Mandy's Fitbit, and she was so close to some number, and we decided, you know, look, we want to do this.
Hey, my thing goes off when I hit 10,000 steps, and I was at like 9,980, and it's like, I'm not stopping for the day until I hit 10,000.
I don't think I was going to go, but Summer's like, I'll go with you. Yeah. And so they were like, we're going to just go walk around the house until it buzzes. I'm like, okay, look, if you guys can go, I'm going to go. So we just walking around the outside of the house, like in rings, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah. Don't got my 10,000 steps.
So, yes, you did. And so that was, that happened, I don't know when. But anyway, Thursday night we got back late. We had to get up early Friday morning and prep and pack.
And pack.
Our own stuff. So then Friday, what did we do?
We went, packed and loaded the car, yes. And then went down to Dune Castle.
Oh, that's right.
Otherwise known as
Castle Leal. Yes.
And we had fun. That was really the only place I can think of that we went where we never had a chance to really explore by ourselves. There were other people there from the time that we got there. And it seemed like the longer we were there, the more tour buses and things that arrived and the more people that there were.
That was the most crowded place we went to, tourist-wise.
And I will say, by that time in the trip, I was pretty much tired. And I did Dune last time, so I sat my butt down in the courtyard.
She did. She sat down. She goes, I'm just going to sit here.
I'm just going to sit here in the sun. Y'all go do whatever you want.
And so I took off, and I was like, okay, I'm going. And then Ginger followed me for a little while. And I literally, if I see two sets of stairs, and one goes up and one goes down, I always go up. Mm-hmm. Just because if I'm going to, I want to get the up done, and then I can enjoy the down later.
Yes.
So I went up, and I don't think that I anticipated exactly how far up I was planning on going. And it was like literally the spiral staircase that went to the top of the Statue of Liberty.
And there was no bar.
Nope.
No rail.
Just a spiral staircase.
That's right.
Straight up.
It was like 9 foot. It was crazy big. I mean, that's a big castle. I did it after you, I think, but
you were with me because you were up at the top with me.
Oh my gosh.
And
I'm not going to lie. I'm not afraid of heights. And it wasn't the lookout that did me in or that made me feel funky. It was coming mostly down, but it was going up those that spiral, and there was nothing to hold on to.
Nothing to hold on to, and the problem, too, with those castles is because they've been in use for hundreds of years, they get very worn and uneven, and it's very hard to keep your footing.
No, for me, the hardest part was that there's not an up and a down staircase, and it's really not wide enough for two people. So if you're coming up, and somebody else is going down, one of you's got to get off and pick a side.
Oh, Lord.
So whoever's closest to the next landing either backs up or goes forward and gets back on the landing. But that was the frustrating thing for me, was that fear of I just want to get to the bottom of the staircase before somebody else starts going up. But that was honestly, as much as we walked, that one staircase was the most I was winded the entire time I was in Scotland. Like, that was the only time I literally was starting to
really
feel it.
And speaking of wind, it's very windy once you get up to the ramparts and battlements on that castle anyway. I know when they filmed and used that, and, you know, Claire walks out on the balcony looking down, they had to strap her and put a harness on her so that she didn't, like, literally blow off the parapet.
But, yeah, beautiful scenery up there. Beautiful.
But then after, it kept getting a little crowded, so we decided that we'd call it a day at Dune, and then we headed down to tea.
Found tea.
Dune,
it was delicious.
And we had
that
a very lovely
definitely
time.
The best tea we had.
It was
I would like to say
tea.
That I haven't had strawberries
that delicious.
My gracious.
Ever.
Macaroons.
Like,
I mean, sandwiches. Finger sandwiches.
Good lord.
But I mean, every
like, we were tea. Oh,
that, that outlet spoiled us.
Yes, it did.
Well, because we had like fresh berries, and I didn't. And usually, like in America, when you buy berries, you can buy like a carton of them, and you get maybe 5 or 6 that are good, and then the rest are kind of like meh, they're okay. Every last berry, every raspberry, every strawberry that I put in my mouth was sweet, like was straight, like delicious. Remarkable. I'm just like I was out of my element. I was not expecting.
So you could tell basically, and they were not huge.
No,
which is to me a sign that they're definitely organic.
Well, they're not because GMO they're for
so
sure.
Small. Oh my gosh!
And that's when you really realize that the season is so much later in Scotland than it is back in the States. Because in Georgia, you know, strawberries are gone by early April.
Yeah,
and they were just being really good in Scotland.
Well, to be fair, I do currently still have strawberries growing in my garden. So
not in Georgia.
I mean, we don't have the humidity level that you guys have in Georgia. And I wouldn't say that these are all, every last one of them are the most fantastic strawberries ever. And, you know, we're not using pesticides or anything out there. So they are organic strawberries. They're just...
I just want to know
that, I don't know that we have the right place for it.
Breed or species of strawberries
that
we ate?
There's a couple of things. I think it's the cool, moist climate.
Yeah.
And I think it's also the fact that daylight hours are so much longer that far north.
Yeah.
That they have more time to go through photosynthesis and all the things that plants do to build.
Well, and the moisture.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a juicy berry in a dry climate. Right. Period. So
after our tea experience, we really decided nothing else in Dune was going to live up to that, and so we would throw in the towel and head back to Glasgow.
We did. We did. In fact. And we went to, and that was the night for Angolvan, correct?
Exactly, with Angolvan and the
our
podcast.
Second.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. So we checked into our hotel.
Yep.
And then
went to the West End.
Seriously. And then went and had, well, no, we had dinner while we ate whiskey. Drank whiskey.
I did not eat my whiskey.
Whiskey on an empty stomach would not be good.
Well, what I did is we met up with Mr. C, the pie man.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
And he hand delivered us one of his pies, the same type of pie that was that they ate on the set.
And you guys split it, right?
We did split it.
Okay.
It was good. Was it chicken and ham? Is that what it was? And when he delivered it to us, it was cool. And I remember telling him, I was like, oh, we'll have to see if I can, let this get up to temperature and then we can try to eat it. And he was like, oh, no. This is exactly the temperature it needs to be. It needs to be at whatever degree he said it was. Because it's got sort of a jelly layer in it, which sounds totally nasty. And you just have to close your eyes and eat it and don't think about it. But it's like if you've ever opened a can of Spam, it's like whatever the clear jelly is that comes with Spam. It's kind of like that. But again, it sounds awful. And if you think about it too much... It's hard to stomach, but this pie was delicious. It was delicious all around. It was savory. It was yummy. And I ate it at room temperature, and we didn't even finish it. It was huge.
No, it was huge. We couldn't eat it between two of us.
So
they got the pie that they shared, or split, and I got the dumpling. I was...
yawning or laughing?
It started as a yawn, and then it went into a laugh.
Why is that funny?
A dummy pie.
It is a dummy pie.
It's late. Everything's funny.
So I got the dummy pie, and I wrapped it up in the baggie that he gave us. Did I carry it with me, or did I take it back up to the room?
I took it back up to the room.
Yeah.
Because we were...
I hand-carried my actual pie all around Glasgow. Because I was like, no, we're going to eat
hungry.
This. We're going to eat this.
When did you guys eat it? At
Angela? No, we ate it at the whiskey.
Okay.
No, we ate it at the whiskey podcast.
Really?
Yeah, that's where I opened it. Because it didn't go back up to the room. I sent it back to the room with you at the end of the evening, what was left of it.
We had food, though, at the pub, too.
We did, but I did not.
Okay.
That was when I cracked open that bag.
After Mr. C's, we were texting up the meet, and we finally met. And perfect table in the far back.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was lovely. And if you would like to hear more of our whiskey podcast.
And so episode 101 was the one that we included the whiskey podcast in.
So if you'd like to reminisce about our meanders with the whiskey and how much I just liked almost literally all of it, then feel free to go back and listen to 101.
Then after that, we stumbled down the street.
It was a short walk.
It's a short walk. Very short walk. The good news is nothing's very far in the West End.
Oh my gosh.
Down to Sutherland.
It was right there. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was right. It was like.
And we had our second Anguille Vaughn experience of the trip. And it was a very international one. There were a lot of different people there from different countries.
What, Iceland?
Like Iceland. And
there were some more Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And that was bizarre. Mm-hmm. Because of all of the things you expected to find in Ungalvan, you expected to find Gaelic speakers. You expected to find Scottish people. You expected to find perhaps a few Americans. The Icelands were the wild card for the evening. The Icelanders. The Icelandic people. They were the wild cards for the evening for me, because that was an unexpected.
It was pretty nice, though. They were very beautiful and how was it?
Nordic?
Yeah, but I'm... I want to say ethnic, but that's not what I mean.
They were not ethnic.
No, they were very... I can't think of the word. I'll just leave it out. But it was a very great... It was a wonderful evening, as the first one was. And when our friend Agav started the evening with... It was the first or second song. He did the Gaelic... His translation, right? The Gaelic translation of...
Caledonia.
It gets me every bloody time. And I'm like... I was a little bit upset with him.
The song Caledonia gets me in English.
Oh, of course it does. Much less in Gaelic. Of course. Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. But when I heard in Gaelic, I'm like, you're just trying to, like, kill me now. So I literally, and I started getting tears. I started bubbling. I was full on, hold on. And I was drinking whiskey, so that didn't help. But I, like, literally, like the little child that I was acting, I got up and ran to the bathroom.
Yeah, and then all the Scottish people turned to me and were like, is she greeting? And I was like,
I was like, maybe. Does that mean crying? Yeah, she was doing that. I was like, and they're like, she just.
And poor Summer, as the sister, is responsible for answering for me if I'm unable to answer for myself.
Right, so she was gone. So I followed her in there. I was like, oh, I'll take care of it. So
I need to take care of it.
And this is how delicate and soft of a sister I am. I walked in and I said, hey, Ginger. She goes, yeah. I'm like, you all right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you're going to have to cut this out right now. People are talking about you. I was like, you're crying and making people uncomfortable. Pull it together. I need you to pull it together, and we can go back out and finish the evening, but I need you to pull it together right now. And she's like, I'm just so sad.
It was two things. It was the beauty of the song, and the fact that it was Agav, obviously, but it was also our last, or I guess our next to last night, but we knew we were leaving soon, and our last Ungalvan for that trip, and it was very emotional for me. It was very emotional. And the reason I was pissed off at Aga was because he couldn't have held that song till the end. You don't start with a song like that.
True.
It was, no, you don't, because then I greet.
Clearly.
I just drank whiskey and tweeted.
Yes, she did. Oh, because they had Wi-Fi.
It
was amazing.
And I knew, Mandy, it didn't matter if I used up the rest of my...
And when Mandy drinks, Mandy tweets.
Yes.
Apparently, yes.
Luckily, she's most fun. Of them are private.
It was fun. And she was over in the corner with her phone. Hee.
Thought we were going to have company for a while.
I hope we were going to have company.
Who works out at midnight anyway?
Crazy people.
Exactly. That's taking dedication too far.
Right.
So, it was very late night. And eventually, I had to go back to the room and go to bed.
I feel like I blinked and you were gone. Like, no. I didn't really notice the exit. It just happened. From Ungalvan when we
went out together.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah, y'all dropped me off. We all left together, and y'all dropped me off at the steps of the hotel.
You'll have to forgive me. I'd been drinking.
Yeah.
So then.
I'd love to say we all went to bed and got a good night's rest, but that is not, in fact,
Summer
what happened.
Summer and I stayed out a little too late.
We just went to an after party. It's cool. It's no big deal.
Pretty sure they got home right about the time I had to get up and leave for the airport.
I'm pretty sure.
They were back a little bit before that, but...
I'm pretty sure that no matter what Mandy tried to do, I didn't notice.
I could not wake up to be roused. Yes. I managed to get Ginger awake and at least say goodbye. Yes. Could not get even a blink out of Summer.
I was done. So. I was done.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah, we.
I mean, I did everything and not.
We were back. I think it was around 4 o'clock.
It was early.
Yeah.
Or late.
So I had to drive the car back to the airport.
Oh yeah.
And turn it in and then leave. And that's when I was greeting.
sad.
Because I don't handle leaving Scotland all that well.
Me either.
It's all right, because the next day, Scotland was greeting. Yes. Because it cried.
I left it and the weather cry. Went to hell. Sorry.
It was actually beautiful Saturday day. Oh, it started raining Saturday night, and it didn't stop until after we left.
So then Mandy flew back, and Summer and I had our final day there.
Which was the day we had to play catch-up because we hadn't bought a single souvenir the entire time we were there.
Well, yeah.
You know, I never did buy souvenirs. I bought a couple little things at the airport for my cousin's daughter who helped watch my cats while I was gone. Because I was like, I can't show up with nothing. Yeah. So I bought like little pencil cases and magnets and things at the airport.
And so we slept in a little bit, like till like 9 or 10, which for us is a long time, because we never slept in that late on this trip.
I was only able to sleep in that late because I hadn't gone to bed till like 4 o'clock.
I was going to say, that was only probably a couple hours of sleep.
I know. So we got up, did our thing, went into town, and
we walked. It was actually a beautiful walk. We walked
straight up
Sakyal,
which turned into Buchanan Street. And so we just walked this beautiful loop, and it was, we wanted to be there anyway because we were going to the train station, so Central Station is right there, so we wanted to hop a train to go out to visit a friend. So we basically walked the long street, got down to Buchanan, bought souvenirs, hopped the train, went to a friend's house for dinner, ended up staying out there way longer than we intended because we just kind of lost track of time, and then when we were trying to get a car to come pick us up from where we were because the train station was gone. That took
like an hour and a half.
That took like 2 hours. Like, to get a car to come out. Because every place that she called, they were like, no, we don't have any cars. We're busy right now. Mm-hmm. We won't have a car till tomorrow. And I was like, there has to be somebody. And she was like, well, if I can't get somebody to come out here in the next hour, I'll just, you know, I'll take you myself. And I'm like, you are not driving us back into Glasgow. No, we'll find a way. Even if we have to just sleep on the couch for a couple of hours and then get a car at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So... But luckily, right around, I'd say 1:30, we had a car finally show up to pick us up. So we got back to the hotel at about 2 in the morning.
And had to wake up at 4:45.
Packed super fast. Mm-hmm. And then set an alarm for basically 4:30 to get up the next morning. So, like, got a little hour and a half, 2-hour nap before we had to get up. And actually, the car who picked us up from our friend's house, we actually booked him to come back in 2 hours to come back and get us and take us to the airport, which was really funny. He was late, but he did come back. But Ginger was so gung-ho on the fact that we needed to be at the airport really early.
Like 3 hours early.
We got there so early.
The gates weren't open, which means
we couldn't check in, couldn't give him our bags. So we couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go inside where all of the fun stuff was. So luckily they had like a little cafe out.
Was it a Costa?
It was not a Costa. It was whatever the airport brand of...
Costa was.
Coffee shop was. So we sat there and had coffee and waited until they opened.
Well, I forgot to say that when I got to the airport on Saturday, there were banners and bagpipes and all kinds of stuff going on. I thought they were all celebrating me leaving Scotland. But apparently it was the day of the first flight on WestJet from Halifax, Nova Scotia to Glasgow. And so literally as I was walking out to my gate, I passed where that gate was and they had the people arriving and the dignitaries, you know, exchanging gifts and everything from that first flight from Halifax.
Well, what I remember from the airport was that they dropped us off or he dropped us off at the passenger loading/unloading zone, which happened to be about a mile from where the actual like terminal was.
Glasgow airport, not all that convenient.
So they dropped us off and then we walked in the rain for like about a mile while it like pissed on us.
It was Scotland.
It cried. Like I said, the sky cried. It was already sad we were leaving. But I don't know. Once the gate was open and we got our bags in, it was pretty uneventful from that point. I will say it was a lot harder to sleep in the plane on the way back than it was to sleep on the way there. It had to do with the fact...
I think it had to do with the fact
that they didn't shut the lights off in the plane like they do on the way over.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So the lights were on the whole time. Well, the short one, they never turned the lights off. But once we got to Dublin and popped on the really long flight, they don't turn the lights off going that way across the continental, whatever. Coming this way, going from like San Francisco to Dublin, they turn the lights off because you're gaining time, so it's nighttime at certain points. But when you come back, they do not do that.
So be honest, once you got back home, how many nights did you fall asleep on the couch at 8 o'clock?
I'm still doing that
a little bit. I was going to say, because I was a good 2 weeks before I could actually stay up until 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
No, it's bad. Like, it was bad. Like, I was having a hard time. It was real hard. Because we got home, and then I went to bed at, like, 8 p.m. that night. It was probably 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then, and I slept through until the next morning, and I got up and went to work. Mm-hmm. Like, that we next both day. Yeah.
See, that's when I'm glad I work from home. Because I got back on Saturday, so I had all day Sunday. And then I worked from home. But I will say it was, like, a good week before I unpacked my suitcase and did laundry.
I'm not going to lie, I may still have a half-packed suitcase somewhere.
But it was a fabulous trip. It was a great time, and I thoroughly enjoyed sharing it with you girls.
Agreed. And like I said, we were already starting to plan the trip within a couple days of being there.
We literally landed and it was like, okay, that's great. What are we going to do next year?
How are we doing?
It wasn't, okay, maybe not when we landed, but within the first like 48 hours. Mm-hmm. Because when you get to Scotland by like 1 or 2, you check into your hotel by 3 or something, and then or 4, and then shower, but don't nap. And then you have dinner. It literally goes straight through dinner at Mother India's. And then your first night there on the ground within like 5 or 6 hours of landing is on Galvan with Agaf. I mean, this, it wasn't just that it's Scotland, it's great, and it's Gaelic, and it's Outlander-themed stuff. Seriously, Glasgow hit me in my solar plexus.
Glasgow is my favorite city in Scotland. It honestly is.
It is mine, and... It's the people. It's the people, and it is the places, don't get me wrong, and it's the pubs, and although you can find great pubs all over Scotland, but it literally, like, twisted, hurt my heart. Not to be there. I loved it, but it hurt my heart because I knew I wasn't staying. And then before we left, like I said, I greeted like a
I tell everybody, if you haven't been to Scotland before, absolutely go to Edinburgh, spend a day or two, see all the sights in Edinburgh, but don't leave Scotland without going and spending some quality time in Glasgow, because there's stuff to see in the Kelvin Grove, the Necropolis, Glasgow Cathedral, all that kind of stuff. And then there's all the bars and Gilvan and all the experiences with the people. Because I really think Glasgow is a much more authentically Scottish city than Edinburgh is. Edinburgh, I think, is all about the tourists and all about, that sort of thing.
And the other thing that I think the locals are saying is that Edinburgh never changes.
Right.
You'll go there, it'll be exactly the same.
Yeah.
But when you go to Glasgow, there's...
Yeah, I don't feel the need to go back to Edinburgh. But it was interesting because, before we started this trip, and I knew both of you were coming, I knew Ginger and I were compatible because we'd been on some trips together before, but I wasn't quite sure how it was going to work with all three of us. Turns out Summer and I are a lot alike. So it worked out just fine.
Which is really funny.
Exactly. And not always good for Ginger.
Nope.
Because
gang up on Ginger. She got
ganged up on a little bit, but that's only because we love her.
She's used to dealing with it with me. So.
She's not used to dealing with two of us. And I think I only had to say once if I have to stop this car.
I think I only apologized once for us being sisters and being picking at each other. But she was like, it's fine. I was like, it's not, but I appreciate you understanding. But we're sisters and we're going to pick at each other from time to time, so I apologize. I know that's uncomfortable for you. But Mandy took it like a champ.
It was a wonderful, wonderful time, and I will do it again tomorrow.
Well, next year.
Yeah, next year. I think she means she would.
I would do it again.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I'd do it tomorrow too, but I have work and I don't have a plane ticket yet.
So I don't have money right now.
We're getting there.
We're saving up.
But I am going to Nova Scotia in August.
Yes, you are. That's the next best thing to Scotland. So, I think we actually made it through Pod Abroad.
We did.
It only took almost 2 months.
Dude.
Oh, a month and a half.
Dude.
So thank you for Mandy for being with us and for coming to the pod studio.
And for driving.
It's an actual studio. We have professional mics and everything. I'm so impressed.
And for driving all over Scotland.
And California.
On the wrong side of the road.
And for being a passenger in mein Auto all up California. And yeah, for hanging out. It's a long
way.
It is a long right. way. That was it's a big
That was
state.
Like, take your longest day in Scotland yeah. and those like, you, thumb your nose at it.
Yeah, those of you who are friends with me on Facebook probably noticed I posted today. It's like, you know, California really needs to organize itself into two regular sized states because it's way too big.
End to end, it's very large.
Woohoo! We made it! We got home to the U.S.
Until next year.
Oh, there will be Pod Abroad. Speaking of Pod Abroad, next year, since we didn't use a hashtag with a date, we just called it Pod Abroad this year.
Next year, are is we just going to be Pod Abroad part two?
That's a long hashtag, though.
I say we just continue with Pod Abroad. Because then we can use Pod Abroad whenever we go abroad anywhere.
Abroad from our home, abroad from the city, abroad from the state. Or has to me, it means overseas.
I think you have to be, like, go over an ocean.
That's what I think. So, I mean, if we went to Canada, I could use it.
I say if we pass, like, country borders.
So
we can
Canada.
Use Pod Abroad. Mexico.
Or Mexico.
But honestly, if I went to Hawaii, I'd be like, Pod Abroad.
Yeah. That would be Pod Aloha or something.
Aloha Broad. Aloha Broad. Aloha Pod? Pod. Never mind.
Aloha Pod.
Nope.
That's
you knew it when it came out of your mouth. I saw it in your face.
You saw the failure on my face.
It was all over there. It was like,
when it takes you a half a second, no, 30 no. seconds to get something out, and you're making a face as you say
I'm
it.
I'm like, when you're shaking your head
as you try and say it,
it's done.
It's not going to work. One. So, not to rehash anything, because we've already done that in 3 episodes.
Lord, is that's all you ever do, actually. Go ahead.
Look.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So, if you had to choose one thing from this entire Pod Abroad experience, what was your favorite part? The thing you saw, people you met, experienced, whatever.
Toss-up, I would say, between the Black Kirk and Craignadun.
The thing that, besides being filming locations, the thing that both of those have in common is that when we were there, there was no one there.
Yes.
And that made it even more special.
Yes.
Just kind of because there's no rush. I think the highlight for me this year...
Singing arias in taverns.
Oh, good Lord. One tavern only.
But two, arias.
Two different nights. Two arias, but a week apart. I mean, that was fun, but that was... I don't want to say silly. It was fun. It was an experience.
Oh, it was silly.
No, it wasn't silly.
It was really silly.
It was like one of those, like, slightly out of place. Like, it just didn't make sense in this thing, but it happened, and people were like, okay, that just happened. No... I think it was interesting, but I think the highlight for me, oh my goodness, I have to agree, it would be between, one of them would be Craignadun, because that was just, I mean, you can't really describe it, have that place to yourself, and just take as much time as you wanted to, and then, yeah, it would be that, and meeting friends that we ever haven't seen in a while, or met online through the fandom, if you will, through the show.
Can we talk about the peanut butter cookies?
Oh my goodness, those were nice.
Those were good.
I think that wraps up episode.
It definitely should.
And if you stuck with us this long, like if you made it through actually all 3 episodes, bless you and thank you for staying with us.
I barely stayed with us for 3 episodes.
Dude, you barely stayed with me at every site we went to. You and Mandy took off.
I barely stayed with you right now.
Okay, so I take that as Summer's hint/clue. We will wrap it up.
I need a light that I can flash at you that says wrap it up. Like, you know, with the Oscars.
No, you just have a finger sign. I know what it means.
Dirty.
A finger sign?
Yeah, let's not say that anymore.
So thank you so much for listening. As always, we look forward to our next episode.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/outlanderpod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @outlanderpod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpod, or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.